On NPR, and we have a 20-minute field recording of a tumluku, which is a Bosnian instrument which can only be played when you have a pierced scrotum and three kids who have been killed by a landmine. It's unlistenable radio! You understand me?
You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver. Totally listenable radio.
I stopped trying to define punk around the same time I stopped trying to define Islam. They aren't so far removed as you'd think. Both began in tremendous bursts of truth and vitality that seem to have lost something along the way. The energy, perhaps, that comes with knowing the world has never seen such positive force and fury and never would again. Both have suffered from sellouts and hypocrites, but also from true believers.
Golden embryo shining in the void.
Oh,
boundaries dissolve into resonant points. 10 or 11 joints, then I should be even. Veil of illusion inebriated in a being. 23 got that good shit. When the clay buffalo walks into the sea, there are no footprints. Dope music, emotional solar plexus. Go to it with a flow that's so relentlessly ill. When you hear it, you have to dance. A lion's cub should not chase an avalanche. Data trance, rhombus, stock trinity, obelisk. Cross-pollinate the frostbitten apocalypse. The three-year-old plays the drum. In silent to the chrysanthemum. The host is mute and the guest is dumb. Praise the earth and bless the sun. Press the button, yo, we do it all for the love. A baseball bat with a ball in a glove. It's like that, yo, who running the meme war? A one-eyed cat peeping into the fish store. We light this shit up like a fixture. Spit more ill shit until my lips sore. A birthday cake as big as a house, with fireworks shooting out of my mouth. Guelph owns rap, man, Guelph rules rap. And that's a quote, man, you can use that. Go for broke, unusual, boom, bap, move back. Cause I'm soaping up this new track.
Blah. You know he flies hell, as far as I can tell. The rate don't parallel, now I'm coming out my shell. I'll put you in a spell, and you can't even tell. I stay hungry like I'll be hearing the dinner bell. I say, you know he flies hell, as far as I can tell. The rate don't parallel, now I'm coming out my shell. I'll put you in a spell, and you can't even tell. I stay hungry like I'll be hearing the dinner bell ring.
I'm a number cruncher, fuck Sudoku. I be reppin' for the golden horseshoe. Except all that glitters is not gold. You get bought and sold, you get put on hold. Truth be told, to the tiniest neutrino. Now I'm coming at you like a flying burrito. The nearer rapido to the time wave zero. It's the dynasty of the anti-hero. Pink flamingo, cooler than Kris Kringle. Except only I am not evil. The memetic dream epic is a team effort. And true indeed we said it like a death sentence. I'm the self-proclaimed North American champion of Tetris. And that's to say the least. And to slay the beast, well then I guess I just raise the yeast. A day to fast and a day of feast. The name Noah, now me rest in peace. I spring ahead and I rake the leaves. Plague language, the famous MCs. Can't take a risk and contagious disease. Ladies and germs, may I please now ask you to just take your seats. I bitch slap Bill Burrows while I break the beats. Seraphim, Scarecrow, Sarah Sahara, Terra Incognito. I'm playing a Terramin, whoa. Ecological terrorist organization, a convex regular polyhedron. Dodecahedral, decahedron, Dimitrodon.
Hi, this is Burt Reynolds. You listen to Wiener's Barbecue, and they're not giving me a damn thing for this.
It seems today that all you see is violence in movies and sex on TV.
But where are those good old-fashioned values on which we used to rely?
F and cry.
Welcome, everybody, to Wiener's Barbecue here on 101.9 FM, CITR Radio, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, every Tuesday from 4:30 to 6 p.m. With me to my slight left.
Yep.
Tyler Noble, CITR sports director and play-by-play man for UBC football. Tyler, how you doing?
Doing very well this afternoon. Daryl, despite the downpour, it actually left my place with a bit of a flood.
I'm not wearing socks, right? I'm not wearing shoes or socks right now. I'm barefoot. My socks are, they're going to give me the flu.
Oh, okay.
They're going to give me the flu. Did you see Family Guy on...
No, I was working, but yeah. I've heard so much about it.
It was fantastic.
Yeah, I've heard that.
Now, it didn't win the night.
No.
The night was won by Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Oh, okay.
Curb Your Enthusiasm. You know, I don't know. I describe a little bit of the episode, but I don't exactly know all the CRTC rules for our station.
Yeah. You shouldn't take guesses.
No. I think I'd be okay, but we'll just leave it. I did so much TV watching. I did Simpsons, Family Guy, The Cleveland Show,
yep.
Mad Men, Curb Your Enthusiasm, Bored to Death, Dexter, Californication, all while going to synagogue Sunday night and Monday in the day for a couple hours. But I did not fast. All right, enough of me.
Yeah.
Let's get into some football talk. With us on the line, color commentator for UBC Thunderbird men's football, Ryan Sullivan. Ryan, did you see the Family Guy on Sunday?
I didn't see the Family Guy, and I got to watch CRTC as well. It was a great day for TV. I had Sunday Ticket going, and then I had Entourage and Curb Your Enthusiasm at night.
So you know,
it's fantastic.
Did you watch Bored to Death?
I didn't watch Bored to Death.
The one in between Curb and Entourage.
See, I mean, I watched the morning games and the afternoon games for the NFL, and then I thought, all right, I should probably get some fresh air so my heart keeps ticking. And then I came back in afterwards and got glued to the TV again. So take a little break.
Okay, because I recommend Bored to Death is, I believe it's on in between Curb and Entourage.
See, I watched the later Curb at 9. Oh. I know there's one on 8, and I think Bored to Death's on. But, I've heard it's a good show, though. I've heard it's good.
Well, the pilot was okay. The premiere was okay, but the one on the weekend was very good. Curb Your Enthusiasm, you know where I'm coming from. The term I'm not sure if I'm allowed to use, hey? You know where I'm coming from here.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I want to throw some quotes at you, but I'm not sure of this, you know, the rule book myself. But I will say that somebody just hugged me and broke my glasses not too long ago.
Oh, no.
Oh, well, it's straight out of the episode. Yeah. I'm here. There's crickets there. Okay.
Somebody hugged me, and you wouldn't hug them back? Is that what you mean?
Well, the Curb episode, you know, guy hugs Larry and
glasses. Yeah. That's not what I'm getting at, though. You know what I'm getting at.
Oh, fair enough. I read you loud and clear.
Okay, let's get on with it. Welcome, everybody, to Wieners Barbecue on 101.9 FM. Let's talk a little UBC Thunderbird men's football. And, yes, we had a little delay there, rambling on about stuff at the beginning. But the reason is now we have to talk about this football game. UBC wasn't too bad. 28-17 losers. Big crowd at Thunderbird Stadium. Mm-hmm. Ryan, your thoughts on this game. UBC drops it to Regina by 11 points. And to get to the playoffs now, I'm going to be shocked if they get in at this point.
Yeah, the ladder got a lot steeper on Saturday, that's for sure. Because they got some big home games coming up. Some big games, you know, they got Calgary, they got Saskatchewan on the way. I mean, so it's a big uphill climb, and that game could have helped big time. And like you were saying, it was a great crowd. And Billy Green was saying before the game, there's a lot of pressure, but he's hoped to channel the pressure. And, you know, they sounded so confident going in, and then right after the opening kickoff, the fire just went out. Mind you, there was a breeze in the stadium, so maybe it blew it out, but there was no fire whatsoever. I mean, they had a safety to start the game. It all went downhill right from the very get-go, so it was pretty rough.
Do you think that maybe the fact that they got in the hole so quickly, Ryan, maybe put a little bit of doubt in the minds of some of the players? Confidence seems to be a really fragile thing at times with this team.
It's very true, and it is a young team, mind you, but at the same time, I mean, they're starting the game. It's homecoming. You got a crowd whipped into a frenzy. I mean, we were commenting during the broadcast. They had the thunder sticks going nuts. And then the opening kickoff return, he gets it out inside his own 10-yard line. They get driven back, taken down in the end zone. And, you know, they give up 2 points in the very first minute of the game. So, I mean, I think right from there, it was just such a hit. It was just so demoralizing. And to be honest, unfortunately, a little embarrassing, I think. And that's what took it out of the players.
Ryan, your thoughts on the play of quarterback Billy Green in this game and really this season so far, The numbers, okay. 20 for 34, 296 yards. Really good in the yards department. Had the two touchdowns, but he turned the ball over three times. Three interceptions in the football game. Your thoughts on Billy Green so far this year?
Yeah, well, so far this year, I'm not gonna play him off just yet because he is a young kid. He's only in his second year, and we did see some bright flashes from him. There was a couple good drives, a few good series, but it seems when he runs the football, he's on the run, he guns it, or when he takes himself. I mean, that's when things happen. It's when he drops back into the pocket and tries to play, you know, the Brett Favre game as opposed to like a Donovan McNabb kind of game. That's when it kind of goes downhill. He needs to be in motion to get something going, and he just didn't find the time and he didn't find the room back there to get it going. But I think he does have potential. He is a good runner. He is a good passer, and he's got a lot of potential, I think.
Ryan, it seems like they're just missing offensively, hey, on the plays.
Oh, for sure. There's just, I mean, every game, I mean, we kind of sound like a broken record when they come off with losses like this because it's just the little things that's screwing them up. It's like two, three plays that, you know, if they go the other way, we got a whole different ball game. You know, it's a drop ball by a guy, you know, downfield. You know, it's a missed pass on a pattern that was run fantastically. But, I mean, this game, you could blame it on anybody. There's a few different things that happened, you know, with TV Banica dropping the fumble there. I mean, that could have changed the game. There were just so many little things that were, if they were different, we'd have a whole new, a different record, I would think. Because every game is the same story. So it's just the little things that are killing them, and they've got to find a way to fix those, or it's going to be, you know, probably dead last, unfortunately, because I don't know, they're just taking them down one play at a time. So
yeah, just to explain for everyone what happened on that play with Banica, it was a special teams play. UBC was punting. He was on the cover team, and the Regina player that was fielding the ball, I can't remember who it was, but it just sort of bounced off his chest, and he went right to Banica, and he had open field, broad daylight down to the end zone, and was tempted to just try and scoop the ball and go for the touchdown, and looked like he was going to do it, and then ended up losing his balance, falling, losing the football again, and then the Rams recovered, and that was a pretty deflating play in the fourth quarter, which could have really changed the game.
Go ahead, Ryan. Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, I mean, you know, we were saying during the broadcast, Tyler, I mean, while it's a play that could have changed the game, you can't really fault him because, no. You know, anybody would have done the exact same thing, right? I mean, yeah. You see a ball, you look up, you see end zone. I mean, he's got the Scrooge McDuck money signs in his eyes. And yeah. And then it unfortunately, it just went, the opposite direction. But in any case, it was just the little things. One little play that could change everything.
One stat, though, that really jumps out at me, and you are not going to win a football game, or it's going to be real hard to win a football game when this stat occurs. UBC turned the ball over four times. I mentioned Billy Green's three interceptions. They also lost the fumble. Regina didn't turn it over once in the football game.
No, it's true. And it's the it comes down to the defense for sure. I mean, the offense wasn't so hot either, but I mean, we were mentioning in the secondary, I mean, the cornerbacks played pretty well actually. They covered their men, you know, they covered the long ball, but it's just the safeties in the middle. They're not coming over to help out. They're not, you know, getting up there for the picks. And it's unfortunate. I think when Nathan Canny gets back in the lineup, I mean, that guy's such a beast that, you know, he can shut down the short run as well. I mean, it was just, there were so many open plays and so much open field for Regina to move to. Mm-hmm. You know, UBC just couldn't keep up.
Yeah, I don't think Regina had an outstanding game themselves. It was just a solid game. Not a lot of mistakes, no turnovers, as Daryl was mentioning, and they just sort of slowly worked their way towards the victory.
Yeah, it was kind of straight out of the, you know, textbook sort of thing for Regina. Yeah. You know, they'd go this way, and then the defense would anticipate, and they'd just run it right up the middle sort of thing. It was nothing too flashy. They just took them down one play at a time, and it was pretty much textbook offense. I mean, that's the only way to put it, really.
Moving on from here, guys, UBC's going to be hosting, well, probably the top team in the Canada West this weekend. They are the team with the best record in the conference. The Calgary Dinos rank third in the country, and you know, I'm looking at the standings, and before the year we said UBC was gonna have to go probably 4-4 to make the playoffs.
Yeah,
we handpicked four wins. They've now lost two of those wins.
Yeah,
so, and now you're looking at the standings, five teams have two wins, so four might not even do it anymore. Ryan, they've got Calgary coming to town this weekend, number one team in the Canada West, third-ranked team in the country, stars on this team. Thunder. I mean, what's got to happen this weekend? They are going to have to pull off a big upset this weekend. How can they do it?
I mean, if they can pull off an upset, I mean, that's going to be like Appalachian State pretty much over Michigan there. I mean, it's just Calgary's such a great team, and they stomped, you know, SFU last week. It wasn't just a little win. They stomped them.
Yeah.
So basically what they're going to have to do, I think, if they want to get going, is they're going to have to take Calgary out of the game from the get-go. I mean, Calgary put up 41 points against SFU. That's not easy. You know, they're scoring every other drive of the game, it seems. So, I mean, if you take them out at the start of the game, you get a few big plays. I mean, whether you start on defense, you get a pick, a big hit. You start on offense, you go right down the field, you run it down their throats. Then you can get them demoralized. Then you can start walking all over them, I think. But, I mean, that's been UBC's problem all year long, is that inconsistency. They haven't come out of the gates. They haven't come out firing. And it's been killing them game by game, especially last game with Regina.
And one of the areas of inconsistency has been on special teams. It was a problem for them in terms of field position against SFU in the first game. They turned it around for the Alberta game very well in Edmonton on special teams, and then sort of went backwards again this past week. We saw a lot of times Spencer Betts was letting the ball drop in front of him, and it ended up bouncing behind him. And, you know, they were never getting anywhere with their punt returns.
Yeah, I was sitting actually with some old UBC, some people, and they were saying Spencer's not having a great day returning kicks.
Yeah.
Looking at Calgary, though, I mean, you know, Ryan, you mentioned that they got to take it right to them. Well, Calgary can take it right to UBC. I mean, how do you stop this? Matt Walter, 7 yards per carry, 633 yards on the ground, or I guess net here, 627 yards on the ground over four games. That's 157 yards per game. And their quarterback, Eric Glavik, averaging just under 250 yards per game. This is going to be one tough, tough offense for this football team.
Oh, I mean, there's no question. They've got their hands full. And, I mean, you know, as we've mentioned, and as it's implied, I mean, this would have been such a huge win to go off of if they had taken out Regina. You know, then they could have a little boost going into this week. But it's going to be so tough. And if they do get behind early, I mean, Calgary's a relentless football club. They're not going to stop. So if you do drop behind quite a bit, I mean, you kind of look at it as a practice game. You got a pretty young team. You know, open the playbook, get the guys moving around, and just try out some different things and, you know, see what you can pull out of that sort of thing.
Calgary, number one scoring offense in the Canada West, 36 points per, 8 points more than Alberta in second place. So
yeah, and UBC has shown that they're having some trouble this season stopping the run as well with the front seven that they currently have. And Ryan, you mentioned that Nathan Kanya is out there from the middle linebacker position, so that certainly doesn't help.
Oh, definitely not. I mean, that's a huge hole on their defense. And, you know, one of the scary stats, I mean, Daryl, you were mentioning, you know, the turnovers. But along with that, the scariest stat to me is that all season long, UBC hasn't stopped anybody once they enter their own red zone. Mm-hmm. I mean, if somebody enters the 20-yard line of UBC, it's points on the board. And, I mean, if you let Calgary in there and you've got, you know, a demoralized defense like this, not a confident D, you know, my prayers are with you kind of thing. And, you know, Nathan Canny would definitely help fill that void, that's for sure. But, I mean, Regina put up 6 scoring drives against them, most of which, if not all of which, were inside the 20-yard line. And so they're going to have to fix that among, you know, a few other leaky holes as well if they want to put up a decent game here against Calgary.
Yeah, last stat here, guys. And, you know, I mentioned Calgary has that great passing attack. Well, here's their rushing attack overall. 273 yards per game on the ground. More than 100 yards over second-place Manitoba. Calgary's rushing defense, number one in the Canada West at 97 per. UBC's rushing defense, last in the Canada West at 198 yards against per game. So you've got the number one rushing team in the conference against the worst rush defense. That doesn't bode well.
Well, this will be something we'll have to follow up with Coach Gavaya later on in the week, is will he change his personnel? I don't think he has a lot of options, obviously, with the injuries to the front seven and just overall the lack of senior players in that part of the defense. So, yeah, it's going to be a tall order for them. If they can get their special teams back on track and improve their field position, that will alleviate the difficulty somewhat anyways.
Yeah, and I mean, you said it's a very, very tall order. And but the one bright spot, the one thing that UBC has going for them is that they also don't have that bad of a running game themselves.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, they probably can go more or less toe-to-toe for a while as far as the run game goes if Dave Boyd gets in it quick. But aside from that, I mean, your offense can only do so much for you, right? And it's another season where UBC's D just hasn't been consistent. I mean, last game we saw a few drives that they shut down. If they made a few two and outs, it was fantastic. But, I mean, if you're not getting the turnovers, if you're not making them fumble or pick that football, like you said, you got a tall order. There's no other way to put it.
Ryan Sullivan. Ryan, thanks so much for doing this.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks, boys.
All right.
Oh, yeah, that was Ryan Sullivan, your color commentator. Yeah. Where was Asa? Asa wasn't there.
Other commitments? He's a busy broadcaster, AM 730, CKNW. He's got a lot going on, that guy.
Yeah, UBC's next game, football game. We're going to be doing a lot of UBC football on the show today. We've got interviews with head coach Ted Gavea, quarterback Billy Green, Jim Mullen from the Canada West, and CKNW is going to be with us. So lots of UBC football on the show today. And here's where they stand right now, Tyler. It is not good. That's
the best way of putting it.
It's real simple. UBC now last in the Canada West with a 1-3 record, 4 games into the year. They've got 4 games left.
Yeah.
5 teams have 2 wins or more. Calgary's the team with 3 wins. But you figure 4 wins at least, especially with looking at these teams right now, 4 wins at least is going to get you into the playoff spot. UBC in the next 2 weeks, and they're going to have to win at least one of these, is going to be playing the number 3 and 7 teams in the country. They're going to be playing Calgary, the 3 team, at home this Saturday.
Yep.
And then they got to go to Saskatchewan, a team that even when UBC was in its heyday couldn't win in Saskatchewan.
Yeah.
Had a ton of trouble. They'll have to go there next game after this one. And then you've got SFU. Then you've got Manitoba. So, you know, if you're still hoping for a UBC playoff spot, one out of the next 2. These were the games when we were picking the wins at the beginning of the year.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Yeah.
Right? So.
Yeah. Well, the thing is with the parity that does seem to exist in an overall sense in the Canada West, I mean, Alberta upset Saskatchewan last week, so it is hard to say for sure how things will unfold exactly, but UBC really can't afford any more losses. That's pretty much it. Not mathematically out at 1-3, but...
might get one loss and squeak in.
4-4 may still be a possibility, but depending on the tiebreakers and all those sorts of things.
It's not looking good.
No, it's not.
It's almost time to think about
next season. Yeah,
we've already hit that point,
and we're only halfway through this one. That's the part that's tough, right?
And now the schedule's getting tough.
Yeah, you know,
it was that Manitoba game.
Yeah,
that was the one.
Were tied at the half. That was a game they had. So
that was the game they had to win. All right, folks, we're gonna take a quick break here. Wieners Barbecue on 101.9 FM. Once again, so we got soccer coming up later in the show.
Mike Mosier, the head coach of the men's soccer team, planning to check in with him. A bounce back performance from his team last weekend, so they're getting their season back on track after a bit of a slow start.
Cool. And yeah, I do like the fact you said you had a flood.
Yes.
I let that go a bit, but how bad? What do you got going on?
Well, there's a drain right outside the door into the basement suite that I live in, and it just backed up, and there was so much of a downpour. I mean, you mentioned it, and it just started seeping in through the door, actually. So a whole bunch of the carpet just on the way inside our place.
But your furniture's okay?
Oh, yeah. It's just the immediate carpet, but there was a lot of water.
I got caught once where I went and got breakfast.
Yeah.
This morning at about I was up actually at 5:30 today. Went down to work.
Oh.
Came back home, and then I went back. But I was up at about 5:30. No, so at 10:30 I kind of had like my late breakfast, but it was like an early lunch kind of thing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
No, because I already had breakfast. It was an early lunch, but I ate it like breakfast.
Right.
Okay, we'll move on.
Yeah.
I got caught coming back in the pouring rain without an umbrella.
Oh no.
And my socks are still feeling
crap.
And then the hail. Did you see the hail?
Yes.
That was cool, eh?
Yeah, it was very loud.
Were you caught out in the hail?
No, I was inside watching.
I was about to go out.
Okay.
And I had to wait for the hail to end. All right, enough weather.
Yes.
Enough weather. And I've talked about my TV.
Yep. We got to get a break in. We got a busy show.
Oh, okay. I'll take a hint.
Okay.
All right, you're listening to 101.9 FM CITR Radio, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada.
Desperately wanting to spend your Wednesday night somewhere besides the pit?
CITR and Discorder have a solution for you. The first Wednesday night of each month is Discorder Night at the Astoria. On October 7th, come check out World Club with special guests Walter TV and Boogie Monster. The kitchen is staying open late, and there will be drink specials all night long. Show starts at 10 p.m.
Not all your problems are solved, but at least you know what you're doing Wednesday night.
You people feel like making some noise tonight. You people feel like making some noise tonight.
You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver, Cookie Monster's favorite radio station.
Good night, Chicago! Brutal!
My name is Natasha. I am a robot now. I am playing with my breast again. Nothing to do, nothing to do. Sometimes I listen to Misery Hour with Hans Close Wednesday at 11 before midnight. I don't think I like it.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to Winner's Barbecue here on 101.9 FM, CITR Radio, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. Our next CITR sports broadcast will, of course, be this Saturday.
Yep.
2 p.m., UBC taking on the Calgary Dinos in... We can, I think, finally almost, well, actually, it's not officially the must-win yet.
Yeah.
But we're really closing in on it.
we were into must-win territory, you know, last week.
I think week two we were into must-win territory.
Yeah.
You know,
So, 2 o'clock kickoff, we'll be on the air teeing it up at 1:30 here on CITR, 101.9 FM from Thunderbird Stadium, another home game, so...
Yeah, there. And you know what, I will say this, and I was sitting in the crowd there in the beer garden. It was a great atmosphere there.
Yes, it was.
Yep. It was really terrific, and I give the athletic department a lot of credit in they're doing it. They're doing it, and they really got it going last year. They're really trying to get the students back in,
mm-hmm.
which, you know, it makes sense.
Yeah,
that's kind of what you want. So I give them credit for that.
Maybe just very brief aside here. I always liked the Friday night games. Did you find that was better for atmosphere and getting the students on campus out to the games and such? Because to me, like, a Saturday, isn't that...
Well, it was great last Saturday.
But it was good.
Yeah, and this will be sort of... See, it's tough because now we're getting to the bad weather.
Yeah.
The team didn't play that well, although they weren't bad. But this one...
Hurts.
This could be tough, this game here,
this
right?
one, yeah.
This could be tough. And, you know, it was really too bad, though, that SFU game... They didn't get the... It was before school, even. Mm-hmm, sorry. Mm-hmm. And that would have been a good crowd. Like, I remember they did it a couple years ago. You guys did the play-by-play, and I thought it was great. First day of school.
Yeah, it was. It was great. But it was a short week for both teams. SFU had to play a Friday game and then a Tuesday game, and UBC had to play a Tuesday game and then a Saturday game. So neither team liked that, having to play two games in a week. So they've started the season earlier. But this is all going to become a moot point next year.
I am looking forward to asking Ted Gavaya... Are you going to make sure the Shrum Bowl happens next year?
Yeah. That's a question for the offseason.
I want that, and they better answer yes. It's going to be interesting.
Let's hear from the coach. Yeah, I spoke with him a little bit earlier this afternoon. Coach, how would you assess your team's performance against Regina?
Well, I thought that, offensively, the opening part of the game, we didn't start very well, but... After the fourth series, for the rest of the game, we played pretty well, and at certain times, I think we had an opportunity to win the game, and, I think that's where we want to be.
It just really did come down to, I guess, some critical mistakes at critical times of the game. From a coaching perspective, what can you do about that, or is it just a case of having to be patient with a team that's still fairly young?
Well, I think there's stuff that we can do about it. I mean, obviously, we are young, and so you need to be patient. But at the same time, I think we need to structure some of those situations in practice this week, and we plan to do that.
What are you expecting from Calgary? They're looking like one of the best teams in the conference. It's a bit of a daunting task facing them, but what are you expecting to see? What are you really focusing on?
Well, I mean, they're athletic. They don't have any weaknesses, that's for sure. We've broken them down over three games, and they're ranked number 3 in the country for a reason. But you know, at the same time, I think that we can compete with them, and you know, we got to make sure that we don't make the same mistakes that we've made at some crucial times. And turnovers is one of the issues, obviously, that you know, if you turn the ball over them against them, it's going to put our defense in a bind. And field position is always crucial in the Canadian game. And you know, we didn't have good field position all day against Regina, so we're going to spend quite a bit of time this week on special teams.
Yeah, more specifically with special teams, is it the cover team, or what is it exactly that isn't working out?
Well, I mean, you know, you've got to catch the ball in the air. I mean,
yeah,
you know, I think that's pretty glaring to anyone that's watched us play, is
yeah.
that you know, our returners are not catching the ball in the air, and they're playing it safe. And you know, you got to take some risks in this game in order to win. And you know, despite working on it, it certainly hasn't happened yet. But we got to keep working on that.
Billy Green, statistically, perhaps his best game as a Thunderbird. How would you rank his performance?
He's progressing. I mean, you know, Billy, we threw the ball a little bit more. He answered. He made some plays. And, you know, at other times, like any young guys, I mean, he seemed to zone out and think that he needed to throw the home run when he really didn't. And that cost him a few picks in certain situations. And so those are areas of the game that, you know, he needs to clean up. But it takes some time. But I'm real happy with the way Billy's playing.
I know it's a bit of a leap, perhaps, looking ahead to next season, but with Billy Green, do you feel that he's on track to be one of the great quarterbacks of the Canada West, perhaps come next year?
Well, you know, it's probably a little premature for me to say. Mm-hmm. Right now, he's not one of the best in our conference, but, you know, I think that as long as he continues to put the time in and develop physically in the weight room and with his conditioning in the off season, that, yeah, he's got a lot of the tools that are needed to be a great one, and he's working towards it.
It would be very easy at this point of the season to throw in the towel looking at a 1-3 record and the opponents that you have coming up, but you feel this team is close. Maybe elaborate a little bit further on that point.
Well, you know, it's about following the process and working hard in practice. So, you know, I'm certainly not looking to throw in the towel at all, far from it.
Yep.
And, you know, I look at it and go, well, it's a case where we need to practice better and continue to work on execution. And, you know, if it doesn't happen for us this year, then it doesn't happen. But, you know, we're still competing for to get better for the future. And if the future comes early and we end up in the playoffs, great. But obviously that's going to be something that's a bit of a stretch right now.
All right. Appreciate your time as always, and good luck against Calgary.
Thanks, Tyler.
UBC head coach Ted Gavaya speaking with us a little bit earlier on this afternoon. We have to pre-tape the interviews because the team practices during the show. But, yeah, talking about what happened against Regina, what he's expecting from Calgary. You know, no bones about it. They're going to be tough. He mentioned ranked number 3 in the country there. And also assessing Billy Green's play. But, yeah, I think we're hearing a bit of frustration in the coach's voice when it comes to special teams, because that was a real problem for them in the first game, and it seems like they've taken a step backwards in that regard.
Yeah, you mentioned Spencer Betts constantly running over his head to catch punts. You know, four kick returns for 33 yards. That's 8 yards per return. That's not going to get it done. 5 punt returns under 6 yards per return. They were decent in, you know, stopping Regina. Regina just under 20 yards per kick return, but yeah, it is something that has plagued them this year. So I don't know.
Yeah, although to come to Spencer Betts' defense a little bit here, he did haul in 2 touchdown passes for UBC in the game.
We're talking about the return.
Yeah, so offensively doing still very well, and developing that chemistry with Billy Green that began in high school.
He almost had a 3rd touchdown in the corner of the end zone.
Yeah, it was just out of his reach. I was saying during the broadcast that he was probably going to be out of bounds had he been able to pull it in, but that was, as you say, Darryl, almost a 3rd one.
And you mentioned Billy Green. We're going to talk to him in a second right here, Tyler. Billy Green, statistically,
yeah,
kind of surprising. I didn't expect I'd see this stat when I looked it up. Is he's actually 4th in the Canada West,
mm-hmm.
which isn't bad, at 177 yards per game. He's 4th overall in passing yards. So in a 7-team conference, that's not too bad. But he is definitely a few levels behind 1, 2, and 3. It's Nixon on Saskatchewan at 284, Mueller on Regina, who they saw this weekend at 268, and then the guy they'll see this weekend, Eric Glavik, at 250. But Billy Green, not too bad, and you can see it. Out of the top 10 passers, you know, 10 guys are on this list here in yards per game. He's the only guy sophomore or younger.
Yeah.
So that's sort of something to look at. But you asked him, you know, what does he see Billy getting to that level next year? And that's really going to be the big question for this football team, or a big question for this team is, you know, is Billy Green, I'm not saying he's got to be right up there 240, 260, but is he going to be 220, 230, 210 even yards per game? Because they definitely need that, especially they're going to have the running game with Dave Boyd, and if they can get that passing game going, defense is going to be a year older. There you go.
Well, and if that's not the case, what's next? Because, I mean, this is the third quarterback in three seasons, basically, for the Thunderbirds. They need to keep some stability at that position, and I think he's going to progress well enough to be one of the top quarterbacks come next year.
Well, yeah, and, you know, this is talk for the offseason, but he has progressed this year, and, you know, I think Billy Green definitely done nothing to say junior season he's not going to be a quality quarterback in this league, but once you get into that third year, that's all I'm saying. It's sort of time to, let's see it. Caught up with Billy.
Yeah, he gave us a few minutes earlier this afternoon, and here's that interview. Basic first question is what happened out there against Regina? This was certainly a winnable game for you guys. You guys were feeling great about where your game was at in practice during the week, but it didn't unfold the way you wanted it to.
Yeah, it was a close game. Obviously, 11-point difference. It was just miscues here and there that just set us back a little bit. Bad mistakes by myself in certain situations. Two back-to-back interceptions didn't help our cause. One led to the other team's touchdown, and just plays like that. It was one of those days where we were clicking on certain plays, making great runs, great blocks, great throws, but couldn't string enough together to get it done.
Was the Regina defense throwing you some things that you weren't expecting? It seemed like you had a little more trouble with them. You mentioned the picks, but you also got sacked a number of times.
Yeah, I think up front, they routinely like to twist a lot, show a lot of different fronts. About their DBs, they're good. A couple errant throws. One pick was a great play by the DB. I felt comfortable with my throw, and then he just jumps out of nowhere, grabs it. Mainly it was up front, bunch of twists that probably haven't seen before from many other teams that gave our protections a little bit of a different look, and sacks happened, but I was also holding on to the ball a little bit longer, so that didn't help.
I thought you were doing a better job of spreading the ball around to your different receivers and using all your backs as well. Do you find, despite the loss, that the offense seems to be clicking better as a whole group now?
Yeah, it was. I was able to spread the ball to different guys. Nate Darcy hadn't had a catch in a while. Got him the ball five times, which was great. He's a guy who gives a lot, blocking, everything. It's nice to reward him with some catches. We had some different personnel groupings. We moved Betts into the slot, and that helped a lot. We got him a touchdown from playing our number three strong spot. That was good. Other than that, I think we're clicking a little bit better, but we're going to have to come out and play really strong this week against a great Calgary defense. So I think that game helped us. We got a lot of yards passing. We rushed for over 100 again, but next game I just think we need to execute a little bit more, certain situations, not to lose focus.
What do you personally feel you need to do differently for the Dinos?
Oh, I just need to be more crisp in my reads, really. I start the game, I think I have to come out and do a little bit better in this week. I had a couple of errant throws, and it took me a little while to get settled down. I think homecoming kind of got me a little bit too excited than I am usually, and I think this week I just need to come out and be calm from the beginning. We got to execute right away, right at the beginning, or else it could be a little bit different than last week. So.
Yeah, you mentioned the homecoming. You mentioned to me in practice before the game last week about possibly having some pressure playing at home, and it was a point that Sam Carino made as well. Do you think the team sort of got a little bit too caught up in the hoopla?
I'm not too sure. I know a lot of guys were embracing it really well, like myself. I love playing in front of a big crowd. I love the pressure. Those situations I thrive upon, but I can't speak for other guys. I know that guys were really excited, but I don't think guys got caught up in it too much. I don't think the pressure took them over. It was just a I don't know what happened.
Yeah. So I guess the attitude going forward now is one game at a time. It looks like a daunting task, but just focusing on the Dinos at this point.
Yeah, definitely. Like, you can't really look forward. Dinos are a great team, so we just have to look at it one week at a time, one win at a time. If we can string four wins together, all of a sudden, instead of being 1-3, we're 5-3, right? So just one week at a time, one practice at a time, just going over assignments, knowing the other team inside and out, and that's all we can do, really.
All right, Billy, we appreciate your time as always. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Very optimistic Billy Green in the interview there, talking about possibly still having a chance to put four wins together. They're going to need improvements in a huge way very quickly here to do that.
Just win four in a row.
Yeah, just get it done.
Yeah,
into the playoffs.
Four, done. Easy. That's what you have to do, right?
Yeah. Not that we're making fun of Billy there. I mean, it's good to remain optimistic, but they got to find, they just got to find their composure and execute and eliminate the mistakes, and that'll make a huge difference.
I'm interested to see what Jim Mullen's going to put the point spread at.
Yeah. Okay.
What do you think it is? You think it's a 2-touchdown?
Yeah, at least, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll hear what Jim has to say.
Okay.
All right, everybody. When we're back, it will be Jim Mullen from CKNW and the Canada West. You're listening to Wiener's Barbecue on 101.9 FM.
Yeah, the state of hip hop right now, man, as far as the way I see it, I think right now, hip hop is advancing as far as skills. You got brothers, you know what I'm saying, getting like more witty.
There ain't nobody to be pretty for. Let it rattle, let the clatter kill him, let the cataclysm wash. Who really listens? Precision with a verse draws a crowd. I draw a line between an easy melody and peace of mind.
Uh-huh. You got DJs doing all kind of crazy shit on the turntables. I like where it's going, and I like, you know what I'm saying, the creative process that brothers is trying to take it to right now.
Rally Rails and Brendan Butter in the place to be. Crimes and Treasons Radio, 101.9 FM, Vancouver, CITR.ca, every Tuesday, 9 till 11.
Dynamite! Welcome, everybody, back to Winner's Barbecue on 101.9 FM, CITR. I'd like to welcome back to the show. Nice hat you were wearing there in the press box, Jim.
Hey, you know what? I'm wearing it right now.
Even today, hey?
Oh, yeah. If nothing else, I'm consistent.
And, Jim, you've seen my hairline. I know where you're coming from there.
Well, you know, you should consider being the hat man. It's not a bad thing.
No.
It's comfortable. We're moving into the fall. You could use some insulation on that dome of yours.
Hey, you know? I'm not even, you know what, Jim? It's like, it's one of those things I go through hat stages, you know?
Well, you go through baseball hats, but you should actually pick something with a little bit of more mature style, considering that you're progressing in age these days.
I had my fedora stage about 10 years ago.
Oh. Well, I did revisited that. What's old is new again.
I agree. I like to wear old when it wasn't new, though. You know, that's what I like to do. With us right now, Jim Mullen from CKNW and the Canada West. Jim, let's talk a little UBC football right now. 28-17 losers to Regina. They dropped to 1-3. On the season. Playoffs, it's not impossible, but it's going to be awfully tough. They've got Calgary coming here on Saturday, the number 3 ranked team in the country. This is a tough spot any way you put it for this football team, isn't it?
You know what? When I take a look at Calgary on the schedule for the Thunderbirds, I kind of envision myself sitting in the press box with my hand just above my eyebrow, putting it over my eyes and then looking up to see what's happening next.
Yeah,
it's going to be a tough contest for UBC. You know, they've had injuries. They've had player defections before the start of the year. That's obviously hurt them. Obviously, Nathan Kanya out for this last game against Regina had a big impact. I mean, Devin Kavanaugh really picked it up.
Yep.
In the front seven for the Thunderbirds in that Regina game, he had just a simply outstanding game. But they're so undersized up front to shut down the running game of the University of Calgary, and Regina did a good job at times, at least, of attacking the defensive halfbacks of UBC with their passing game to buy time and to buy space. And you got to think with a quarterback like Eric Glavik right now, who transferred out of St. Mary, spent his year on the sidelines and is stepping in as a starter with a team that is now ranked number 3 in the nation. Man, it's going to be a very, very tough challenge.
Well, this is the stat that really jumps out at me. Matt Walter, great running back on Calgary. And, Jim, I mean, how do you even get around this? Calgary, leading team rushing the football at 273. You mentioned the quarterback, Glavik, throwing the ball. But UBC last in rush defense at 198 against per game. I mean, how do you even get around that stat, you know?
Well, you don't get around it. What you do is you create a game plan to get you from A to B, make sure that you don't give up too many points, and get through this, and then face a Saskatchewan team the following week that has been completely ineffective in running the ball. And if there is an outside shot of UBC challenging someone to play a spoiler, it's that Saskatchewan game. But it certainly isn't against this Calgary team. There's another thing with this Calgary team, too. With Ottawale, with Bonaventura, with those sorts of guys in their defensive front seven, they might be giving Billy Green nightmares throughout the rest of the weekend.
Yeah, you mentioned Saskatchewan. They appear beatable as Alberta was able to get a win against them. But UBC, Coach Gavaya pointed to special teams again as being a big problem. How would you assess the special teams from the game on Saturday?
Oh, their special teams were awful. And their special teams were awful against Simon Fraser, too, in the home opener. The only game where special teams weren't a big factor were against the University of Alberta, from what I understand, in terms of the struggle for field position. They had lots of return yards, over 200 return yards against the University of Alberta. And oddly enough, you mentioned that Alberta-Saskatchewan game, Tyler. In that game, Alberta won the battle of field position with their kicker, Hugh O'Neill, gaining them at least 12 yards on every exchange. That was the difference in the game. People discount what the special teams do in the Canadian game if they only understand four-down football. Special teams are truly one-third of the game in this game. Yeah. And if you are not gaining on field position when your offense is breaking down, you will likely lose the football game. And Saskatchewan discovered that against Alberta.
Yeah, I do think, though, Billy Pavlopoulos probably had his best game punting anyways, but it was the other way around in terms of the return game was a disaster for the Thunderbirds, frankly.
Oh, the return game was an absolute disaster. I think there were times, I mean, we're separated by a door where you have your broadcast location when we're in the press box, but you must have heard me screaming and yelling at certain times.
Yeah.
Engage somebody. Hit somebody.
Yeah.
I mean... when you take a look at Spencer Betts, he's a very elusive returner, but he doesn't have a great deal of speed. But if he doesn't have the entire package when he's returning the football, there better be some helmets being applied on some helmets by the Thunderbirds when it comes to their blocking schemes. They were in, here's the thing that's so frustrating. The coaches have put players into position to make plays, but they are simply not making plays. Whether you go back to that SFU game where there were so many drop passes, or you go all the way up to this game against the University of Regina where they're not making hits on special teams, even though there are players in front of them to make hits on special teams.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing that is so entirely frustrating when you watch the Thunderbirds team right now. They don't have the personnel.
Talk about the play of Billy Green, Jim, halfway through the season, sort of being handed the keys of this UBC offense in 2009. Not bad. You know, he's fourth in the Canada West in passing yards per game, 177. Did have the 3 interceptions on Saturday. My question, though, with Billy Green, has he shown enough to you where come next season, year 3, he's a junior now, is he going to be a real legitimate one of the top quarterbacks in this conference?
I think he will be one of the top quarterbacks in this conference if he absorbs what he's being taught. And what I mean by that is I get the impression from Green, I don't know if you guys watch him on the sidelines that much, he's a very intense competitor, and sometimes he piles on the pressure on himself to make plays. And instead of really reading what's available to him and taking the time and checking off what's available in terms of his receivers, sometimes he will go out and just try to make too much happen. And when you have a quarterback or even an individual that tries to make too much happen, it doesn't matter if he's Billy Green or, say, maybe even Casey Printer circa 2005, you're going to get a guy that drops bombs in front of himself and makes mistakes. We saw it with the third and one in the Regina game. We saw it where it looked like he was shot by an elephant gun in the middle of the field in one of the games earlier this year. There have been times where Billy Green has just almost put so much pressure on himself, he hasn't been able to handle it. He's got to trust the players around him. He's got to have the personnel around him. And then he's got to be able to invest that faith to know that when he makes his checkoffs, he can then deliver the ball to them.
Jim, let's jump around the Canada West right now. It's really getting close in those standings, but I just want to start the team with the other team in the conference with the local flavor, SFU. They start 2-0. Two games later, they've given up 77 points in those two contests. SFU 2-2. Are they still a contender here? What's going on with the Clan?
Well, they may not be a contender after Friday. I got something special to pass along to you here. When they started Caleb Clark against the University of Calgary, they may have been starting an ineligible player. I know we're going to have more on that on CKNW as the week rolls along, but if the CIS adjudicates against SFU based upon a University of Calgary complaint, there is the distinct possibility and, dare I say, probability that SFU, who are a 2-2 team as we speak right now, may become an 0-4 team for playing Caleb Clark, who played at the University of Western Michigan last year, did not spend a year out as a transfer player, and as a result, he is supposed to spend a year out of football as a transfer player. On the only hook on all of this is if Caleb Clark then ends up attending a graduate class, if he attends grad school, if he's pursuing an MBA, then he can go straight into competition again. Well, from what we understand right now and what we've been digging up at NW, we understand that at the start of the year, all the way up through to the third week of September, that he wasn't in grad school. Mm-hmm. So if that truly is the case, it's entirely possible that SFU all of a sudden will find themselves playing against a University of Saskatchewan team, and they will be 0-4 and looking for their first win. And, you know, guys, you talk about UBC possibly making the playoffs.
Yeah, there's
a
win.
Sudden, they've got a win in their column, and everything changes.
Yeah,
suddenly they're 2-2.
Yeah.
Caleb Clark, though, Jim, you know, backup quarterback. 1-for-2 against UBC in that game, 8 yards passing. Did catch a pass for 9 yards. Honestly, is this one where the CIS sort of SFU? You know where I'm coming from here, Jim. SFU's going NCAA next year. Is this going to play, you think? Is there going to be a little let's get SFU?
Quite frankly, I don't know what's going through the minds of the people that are looking at this case. But I tell you, if the University of Calgary was going after Caleb Clark quite seriously to bring him into the program because they wanted depth at quarterback and possibly a receiver because Dallin Tolstrup went south of the line after his Mormon mission. And if the University of Calgary, from what we understand, was told that no matter what, Caleb Clark was going to sit out a year taking the course load that he wanted to take, and I think the University of Calgary, if they are the ones that are making the complaint in all of this, they're the ones that probably have quite a case here, because if they've decided to kind of check off on a potential recruit to bring him back to Canada, and then SFU started him right away, if he was not registered in grad school at the start of all this, I think the CIS is going to come down hard on them. And another reason why I think the CIS might come down hard on them is because SFU had the temerity to start Caleb Clark in Calgary, in the town, and at the university that was filing the complaint against him, even though they knew full well that Bern Dietrich was their starting quarterback. So I think there were some really raw nerves here all around the table, and nothing would surprise me at this point.
Well, and there are some precedents as well in other sports as far as what happens when you play ineligible players. We've seen it in men's hockey, and we've seen it in men's basketball as well.
With different rulings, I'll say that right now. Mm-hmm.
So, but there has been cases where games have been overturned as a result. So the rules are pretty clear.
The rules are pretty clear, and I think the lines have been drawn between Simon Fraser and the rest of the Canada West. You know, talking to other athletic directors in the Canada West and also talking to people in the CIS head office, which I do on a regular basis because I'm responsible for putting the top 10 together,
yeah,
they were totally caught by surprise when on last Wednesday, Simon Fraser staged a press conference and said that they were jumping to the Great Northwest Athletic Conference. And what's significant about this is that people at the CIS head office and people in the Canada West were totally assured by Dr. David Murphy that they would be kept in the loop if there were going to be any changes to Simon Fraser's status or if they were going to make any moves. They weren't. They were totally kept in the dark in this process, and I think that has got people on edge. And I think if the CIS has an opportunity to take a look at a situation, they won't be so compassionate when it comes to ruling on an athlete on compassionate grounds.
So, Jim, you say this is going to come down by, I mean, it has to, because it affects the standings. What, so by Friday we're going to know, if not sooner?
I understand that it's by Friday, but I have talked to other sources in the Canada West, and they say they don't know if the CIS has actually fixed the date. The target date is Friday in this. It may stretch out longer. Given the roster that the Thunderbirds have right now, maybe you folks out on the point should hope that it stretches out beyond the Shrum Bowl. No matter what, UBC could score a win.
Yeah.
Because SFU is hosting Saskatchewan on Friday.
Yes. Well, I guess the question then is, do they start Caleb Clark, or do they put him into the lineup, or do they have him play some reps? It's, you know, whether or not Clark knows whether he was eligible or not, it still seems really unfair to this athlete, and it seems unfair to the team around him that they could have a season or half a season wiped out as a result of this. It'll be interesting to see at the end of the day who is really going to assume the accountability for this. I have a feeling that no matter what happens, if there's something that comes down in terms of some sort of discipline towards SFU, no one is going to assume responsibility for this. I just think that we're going to get a lot of finger-pointing and a lot of politicking.
And they're leaving the conference next year, so who cares anyways, right?
Yeah, and I think maybe some of the finger-pointing will not be done with the pointer finger.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, no kidding there. What do you think's going to happen, Jim? What's your gut?
Judging by my gut, that's a very good question. I would say at this point that there's going to be something assessed against Simon Fraser for this based upon the pieces of information that I know. Whether or not the CIS office that's ruling on this right now is going to go the full distance and turn SFU into a 2-2 team to a 0-4 team, mm-hmm, I really don't know at this point. You know, they have to take a careful look to in the mirror to make sure that they don't seem petty on this. But you have to remember that they had a middle linebacker a couple of years ago that was caught using steroids, and he was caught on steroids at the East-West Bowl. And you have to remember that Dave Johnson, the head coach of SFU, when he was coming out of the gate, was caught on recruiting violations and had to sit out his very first game. Lou Delorier was marked in as the head coach of that very first game. So it's not like we don't have a trail here that weaves through Simon Fraser and the Dave Johnson era. As much as I like Dave, there seems to be a lot of stepping over the line here, there, and everywhere, and it'll be interesting to see how the CIS pieces this all together.
Yeah, and you know, Jim, what gets me just following this over the years is UBC got zinged with a couple hockey games a couple years ago, Tyler, playing ineligible players, and then there was the whole Trinity Western debacle in the Canada West playoffs, and I was saying it earlier on talking to you, different rulings each time by the Canada West and the CIS, so I don't know what they're... There's no consistency in how they rule on this. That's my...
Well, I think you go back to the late 90s. The University of Saskatchewan beat UBC in a Hardy Cup final, playing an ineligible player, and Brian Tauris was smart enough to get all of his players a day early onto the plane and fly them out to Quebec City. 2 days later, there was a decision made saying, yeah, okay, you guys had an ineligible player, but you've already paid for a flight, so why don't you play the game anyway? So that's what I'm saying, is that you can't have a great level of certainty in terms of how the CIS or the Canada West, if they're directly involved in this, is going to rule on something like this.
So there you have it. Jim Mullen. Jim, thanks for that. Very much appreciated.
Anytime.
Well, something to follow. Really does affect UBC.
It suddenly makes the playoff picture a little more reachable.
Wouldn't that be something?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's an extreme sanction to impose. It is a serious offense that's been committed, but we shouldn't draw any conclusions.
I mean, what
yet.
They could do is let them keep the Manitoba win, but not the UBC win. Huh?
Well, I don't know. Sure.
I don't know. I just, from looking at Caleb Clark's statistics in those games, I think there's going to be a suspended something here.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, something's going to happen, and if the coach gets suspended or whatever, but you know, in their two wins, he wasn't a prominent factor, you could say.
Yeah.
But I don't know. We'll see.
Jim made a good point there, too. It's not as though the Clan were very sneaky about it. They go ahead and play this guy, you know, at Calgary. So
yeah, we'll see. Anyways, we'll follow that. Once again, our next UBC Thunderbird football men's broadcast is going to be this Saturday at Thunderbird Stadium. It'll be UBC hosting the number 3 team in the country, the Calgary Dinos. Kickoff at 2. Pre-game show starts at 1:30.
Yep.
Right here on 101.9 FM. All right, we're going to take a quick break here on the show. When we're back, we're going to hear from Milan Dragicevic, head coach of the UBC Thunderbird men's hockey team. Canada West hockey getting underway this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
UBC not playing this weekend, so.
But they are playing a special game tomorrow night against the AHL's Abbotsford Heat over at the newly named Doug Mitchell Thunderbird Winter Sports Center. So that should be some very exciting hockey to see some of the prospects in the Calgary Flames organization taking on the Thunderbirds.
Isn't that something? Go see Calgary Flames prospects.
Yeah. But, you know, it should be pretty decent hockey.
I think it's funny they put the Calgary Flames prospects in Abbotsford. That's all.
Yeah, it is a little odd. But, I mean, Abbotsford and the Fraser Valley is enough of a population to support an AHL team.
I'm not root for them.
Yeah, you know, I before we go to break, I'm kind of with you on that. I just, there's something about...
I'm root for them.
How can I...
I hope the players break their legs.
Like, I'm fine with cheering on the Giants, but the Abbotsford Heat, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm fine if Michael Backlund, the Flames prospect, played for Kelowna. If he was a Giant, I'd root for him, but not a team full of them.
Yeah.
I hope we see torn knees.
Do the games against the Manitoba Moose interest you, though, at all? Just the chance
not me.
To see
I'm not
going to
go up there. I'm not. You know.
Anyways, chance to see the AHL's Abbotsford Heat take on the Thunderbirds Wednesday, 7 o'clock at the Winter Sports Center. And part proceeds from the game being donated by UBC toward the ongoing effort to help local hockey coach Rick Sidoni's battle against cancer. So, if you can make it out on Wednesday, be sure to do so, because the hockey will be good and the rink is fantastic, as we saw last year doing some games there.
Great. All right, everybody, we're going to take a quick break. When we're back, we're going to hear from the head coach of the UBC Thunder men's hockey team, Milan Dragicevic. Also join us before the show is up, Mike Mosier, head coach of the UBC men's hockey team. You're listening to 101.9 FM CITR Radio.
Right to Play is an international humanitarian organization using sport and play programs to encourage the healthy physical, social, and emotional development of the world's most disadvantaged children. RTP at UBC is run by a team of committed university students who advocate sport for development and it is the first university chapter of its kind. We want you to get involved. Together, we can educate students about sport for development, help raise money, and teach children here in the Lower Mainland about the importance of sport and a healthy lifestyle. So check us out at www.interchange.ubc.ca/RTPUBC.
Ever thought about volunteering with Big Sisters? Maybe now is the time. Big Sisters of BC Lower Mainland provides girls aged 7 to 17 with a champion, a mentor who's there to simply be their friend and cheer them on. Become a study buddy tutor and spend 1 hour a week helping your little sister learn to love school. Or become a big sister and spend 3 fun hours a week just hanging out with your little sister. If you're age 19 or older, please visit bigsisters.bc.ca to find out more. Maybe now is the time.
Sam from the Go Team, and you are listening to CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver.
All right, welcome back to Wiener's Barbecue on CITR 101.9 FM. Daryl Wiener and myself, Tyler Noble, with you here till 6 o'clock tonight. We got some more coming up here on other UBC Thunderbirds athletics. Aside from football, we covered them at length. The UBC men's hockey team will be getting their season underway, not this coming weekend, but the following weekend on the road in Regina before their home opener the following weekend. As mentioned before the break, they do have an exhibition game coming up tomorrow against the AHL's Abbotsford Heat over at the Doug Mitchell Thunderbird Winter Sports Center, and that should be very exciting. A few days ago, our Jeff Sargent spoke with the head coach of the UBC Thunderbirds hockey team, Milan Dragicevic, about what to expect for the upcoming season.
The season's still a couple weeks away, and always a lot of changes every year. Last year, we had, I think you had 13 new players come into camp and make the roster. What sort of changes can we expect for the coming season?
We've got 5 brand new players this year. We've picked up 3 centermen, which is something that we lost last year, losing Bernsey and Daryl May. And one of the things that we wanted to acquire was to get a little more impact up the middle, and we feel we did that. And we're going to have a very hard-working team that's going to be gritty and very defensive-minded, and games that are going to have to be 1-2-1 and 3-2.
And obviously changes this year to the playoff format as well, so it makes it even tougher with the likes of Alberta and Saskatchewan being in the Canada West this season.
Yeah, they changed the playoff format to only 4 teams making it this year, so it just makes that, you know, in the past even all games are always important, but now every game's a 4-point game, and you need a good start to the season to carry on.
Already have played a couple exhibition games. What have you gathered from the team so far this year?
That, you know, we started off very well in the exhibition. The first period I was shot an 8-21-5, and we're up to nothing, and then we kind of got complacent in the second and third period and came back to bite us, and we lost 5-3 next night. We won 7-2 and played our A game, and I think it was important for our guys to learn a lesson that, you know, when you're up to nothing, that you want to finish teams off and not give them any chance to come back. And, you know, those are some of the lessons that is good to have in the exhibition season to carry on forward in a couple weeks for the regular season.
And a big test coming up here quickly, a chance to play the newest or moved AHL club in the Abbotsford Heat. That'll certainly be a special night in many ways.
Well, in many ways, it's the first time that our fans are going to get a chance to see, you know, a professional hockey team. A majority of those guys are going to be under contract, and some of those guys are still with the Calgary Flames right now. So it's going to be a good test for them, and our guys are going to be jacked up. It's going to be a situation where a lot of guys are going to be familiar with some of the players because some of those guys played in the Western Hockey League. So it's an exciting time. We're hoping to get a lot of people in the building, and it's going to prepare us very well for the upcoming games.
And it's also a good charity event as well. I understand a lot, some of the proceeds are going to a good cause.
Yeah, some of the proceeds that we're going to have on Wednesday night is going to go to Rick Sidoni and his charity foundation. And this is all about his night. He's a hockey dad. He's got two kids playing in Cloverdale. And, you know, he's diagnosed with throat cancer. And he needs a certain amount of money to raise for his special medication. And this is going to be about him. And we're definitely want to do our part. And same with the Abbotsford Heat.
You mentioned, hopefully getting a lot of fans out there. And you're in this brand new big building now for the second full season here. How important is that to really grow the fan base? And do you think that with the Olympics being there this year, that can really be a boost as well?
You know, it's going to be a big boost. We obviously want to get the student population out to the games. And there's not a bad seat in this place. There's 5,700. And what we want to do is maybe average 1,500 to 2,000 fans a game. And I think we can do that with the proper marketing and proper promotions. And it's a wonderful facility, probably the nicest facility for university hockey in Canada, and people just got to give it a chance and come out, watch the hockey and enjoy the game in a great atmosphere.
Perfect. Well, thanks so much, Milan, and we look forward to the start of the regular season in a couple weeks.
Thanks, Jeff.
That's our Jeff Sargent speaking with the head coach of the UBC Thunderbirds men's hockey team, Milan Dragicevic, about the upcoming season. Their first games will be in Regina on the 9th and 10th of October, and then they return home for their first two home games against Alberta, I believe it is, the following weekend. Manitoba. 16th, 17th,
yeah.
Sorry, Manitoba. Yeah. Yeah,
it should be, it's going to be real interesting to see what kind of UBC team we get. I mean, they've got your Jordan Burns, Daryl May, senior on this team. He's been about a point-a-game guy in his career at UBC, so lots going to be on him. Tyler Ruel had an outstanding playoff last year. Brandon Campos. Question is, can this team take that next step? And they're going to have to do it in the regular season this year. Normally, six teams of the seven make the playoffs. Top two get a bye.
Yep.
Now it's four. So they're really going to have to deliver. They have it in them. They've battled injuries, and it's kind of tough with UBC because we know now probably who their team's going to be, but they always lose guys to ECHL or going pro. So we'll see how it plays out. But
last season reached the second round of the playoffs after a thrilling three overtime game series against the Lethbridge Pronghorns. They went on and then got, swept by the Saskatchewan Huskies. But they showed that once they do reach the postseason, they can step it up.
No, what I see from this team, though, this year is they have more forward depth than they've had in a long time. And a big thing with UBC is staying healthy, but it's Tyler Ruel, Brandon Campos, Jordan Burns, Daryl May. They got some guys this year. They might be able to put two lines out there who can score.
Yeah.
So we'll see what can happen. There's more optimism this year than there's been in a long, long time with this program.
The Birds have played a couple of exhibition games already against the Northern Alberta Institute of Technology. Those games were on the 20th and 21st a couple weeks ago. A 5-3 loss and a 7-2 win. Coach Dragicevic said that overall the guys were very industrious in their work ethic.
Industrious in their work ethic.
You mentioned Tyler
Ruel. What does that mean? I know what it means.
Yeah.
I don't hear that very often.
Yeah.
Industrious in our work
ethic. Well, a unique guy.
In my work ethic.
Dalton Pajak, Nick Duff, Wyatt Hamilton, Tyler Ruel contributing goals for the Thunderbirds. So, and as mentioned, they've got their next preseason game tomorrow against the Calgary Flames AHL affiliate, the new Abbotsford Heat. Puck drop is 7 p.m. And again, part proceeds from that game going towards helping the fundraising effort, as Jeff and Milan were talking about. Fundraising effort for local minor hockey coach Rick Sidoni's battle against throat cancer. So if you can make it out to the game tomorrow night, should be good hockey and a nice new facility and a chance to see some of the Calgary Flames prospects.
Is Michael Backlund? Is he on the Flames team?
I'm not sure.
It's like their big prospect, but
let's see. Yeah, Michael Backlund headlines the Heat and was a member of the Kelowna Rockets WHL championship team.
Okay, so hold on. So you've got, this is who we're supposed to go see in this team in Abbotsford.
Yep.
Michael Backlund, who knocked the Giants out of the playoffs last year.
Yep.
Now he's a Calgary Flames prospect.
Yep.
Give me a break.
Okay. Speaking of the Giants, J.D. Watt.
Leland Irvin? Is that another guy? Is he their goalie? Leland Irving?
Not seeing it on here, but...
Who else does Calgary have on there?
Let's see here.
Darren Fleury?
Other former Kelowna Rockets, Riley Grantham, Carson German, Brett Palin.
All right, we're good.
J.D.
We're
Watt, good. One of two players with a tie to the Vancouver Giants. He was part of the Memorial Cup winning team in 07. Cam Cunning as well. So there's some names there.
Michael Backlund,
though. That's the big one.
All right, when we're back, we're going to talk a little UBC Thunderbird men's soccer. They've won four in a row. Mike Mosier, the head coach of the team, will be with us. Just in the Wiener's Barbecue on 101.9 FM, CITR Radio Vancouver. I did that last time, didn't I? I did, didn't I? CITR Radio Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada.
Yep.
Another night's work well done. And so easy without that nuisance Spider-Man.
I didn't know you cared.
You!
Yes, Electro. And I'm going to short-circuit you once and for all.
You would have been better off in the hands of the police. You are no match for my power.
It takes more than power to win. It takes brains and knowing your enemy.
I'll pick my power against your brains any day. What was that?
That, my thieving fiend, is the result of brains.
Use your brain. Turn off all the lights when you leave a room. If every household in BC turned off one light bulb for 4 hours a day for 1 year, it would save enough electricity to power all the homes in Mission for an entire year. This Power Smart Play brought to you by BC Hydro Power Smart and CITR 101.9 FM.
Forgot how to work the equipment there for a second. Well, welcome back to Wiener's Barbecue on 101.9 FM CITR Radio. With us on the line, head coach of the UBC Thunderbird men's soccer team, Mike Mosier. Coach, how you doing?
Just fine. How you guys doing?
Pretty good. Coach, what's it like practicing in this rain for soccer? I mean, it was so nice just a couple days ago.
I'm on the field right now. We just finished. I'm in the sunshine, my friend.
Yeah, it's sunny now, but a bit of a downpour earlier.
So you're loving the new turf then right now, hey?
We are loving the new turf because in years past, with that rain that we had today, I don't know if we would have been able to practice today.
Cool. Good stuff. Coach, tell us about your team. 0-2 to start the year. Boom, you've now won four in a row. How have you turned it around?
Well, I mean, the first weekend, the two losses, you know, we were a little bit unlucky. I mean, with a bounce here or there, you know, we could have won both games. You know, so we knew that it wasn't the end of the world and the end of the dynasty or whatever.
Yep.
But we just had to be a little bit better, a little bit more attention to detail and also be better defensively because, you know, I think, to be very honest, we know we're a team that's doesn't have a real sniper, let's say, and well, hopefully one will emerge as the season goes along, and we're getting better, but we had to be better defensively, and we've got back to that. You know, we got two shutouts in a row against Lethbridge and Calgary, the games at home, and then only conceded one goal again this past weekend, but I think above all, you know, conceding one goal in four games, we didn't give up a lot of chances either, so that's kind of back to where we were at last year.
And, you know, how's your goalie, Elliot? How's the goalies doing? You got a couple guys in there. How are they doing, Coach?
Yeah, they're doing just fine. You know, we've split them. They're both fifth-year guys. They've both been with us for several years. And, you know, there's not a lot to give between the two of them. So we've given them sort of equal playing time. They've both done well, so no concerns there.
Coach, this is pronunciation I have trouble with. Devin Gunich?
Gunench.
That
you
is.
You were very close, Darrell.
I almost had it. You mentioned the sniper coach. You know, you're just looking at the stats. He's got two goals. You know, is this the guy that could emerge?
No.
Yeah. I know it's only one more than everybody else, but, you know, he's the team leader. That's
you know what? Hey, good for him. Dev is actually kind of more of a defensive player in the role that he plays. He did get the one goal against Lethbridge that was a very timely goal late in the game. We had all sorts of pressure. And then the goal he got 2 days ago was a penalty kick. The guys that we normally have taking those kicks
had just come out of the game, both of them probably 5 and 10 minutes just in front. But I knew that Dev hits a very good penalty kick, so we had him step up, and he buried it. So
cool. So who are some of the guys that will look out for? Because you mentioned you need some goal scoring. You've got seven goals in six games. Give us some names here.
Yeah, Ryan Reynolds is one of our forwards, and Ryan's gotten better each and every weekend. Had a really good weekend this past weekend. You know, probably the best I've seen him play. This is his second year with us. He got one of the goals against Vic 2 minutes in that game. And then Tyson Keane can score goals. Tyson got one goal this past weekend. You know, he gets a lot of shooting opportunities. He's probably got the best shot on the team. So I think, you know, we'll get some stuff from him, although he's suspended, unfortunately, this coming next game. He picked up his third yellow card, so he's got to sit out the Trinity game. But those would be two that I think can score. Marco Vizintin scored a free kick goal against Victoria that was spectacular. He hit it over top the wall, top corner. The goalkeeper just sort of looked at it and watched it go in. And, you know, Marco hits a very good dead ball. He hit the post in Alberta with the same sort of shot. So there's three guys that I hope can step up and start providing a little bit more in the goal-scoring department for
us. Well, yeah, Coach, you mentioned the Trinity game. This is the team you're going to be playing against this weekend. Obviously one of the biggest games of the year, and you talk about, you know, you guys have to score. This is a team that knows how to score, at least that's what the stats say. 14 goals for Trinity in their six games, where you guys have scored seven in your six games. So obviously this is a team that can put the ball in the net.
Yeah, they can, you know, and to be honest, they I think they do it through hard work. You know, they've got some players that are willing to get themselves into the spots where you can score goals from. They've got some players that are brave. They're willing to stick their nose and their face and their head into some areas that some people might not. And because they don't necessarily have a star, let's say, but they've got two or three of those guys, kind of dirty guys that go and get the dirty goals, and they all count the same, right?
Absolutely. So tell us what you guys got to do to get the win against Trinity.
Well, again, just be tight defensively. We love playing out on their field, out at Trinity. It's a huge field, which I think always benefits us because we have a pretty good technical team. So we got to knock the ball around and keep possession of the ball. And then, yeah, just convert on our scoring chances, convert on our free kick, corner kick type situations, because we've got players that can make it happen in those situations as well.
Terrific. Mike Mosier, head coach, UBC Thimer men's soccer team. Coach, thanks for doing this. Best of luck in Langley on the weekend. Hopefully it's not pouring rain like it was at points today.
Definitely. Well, again, we're in the sunshine now. It's still probably raining out there.
It was hailing today, Coach. It was hailing.
I don't know. I didn't get out of my office. It was too cold out there.
There you go. Thanks for doing this, Coach.
Okay. Yeah, bye now.
All right, Mike Mosier, head coach, UBC Thunderbird men's soccer team.
Yeah, quick turnaround after a start they didn't expect, 0-2, now rattled off four in a row. And, you know, he talked about having to play really physical and gritty and get into those tough areas against Trinity Western. And then that was a comment that he made following the game in Victoria about having to show up and play a full 90 minutes and continue to get hard-nosed, gritty performances. It's a very competitive conference in Canada West men's soccer, and there's no gimmies. So,
the women's team, what's going on here? This is a strange one. This is a team that wins national championships. UBC 1-2-1. To start the year, that they do have games in hand on teams, but right now in the Canada West, they are in eighth place out of 10. They travel to Regina, a game they should win. Regina 1-5. They will play the best team in the conference, Manitoba, who's 5-1. So UBC women's soccer, I mean, a big weekend for them, but not off to a very good start this year.
No, not at all. And I'm not fully up on the women's soccer team, but
shame on you.
Yeah, you know, there's still lots of season left for them to get things turned around, and I can see on the standings there they've got a couple of games in hand, so they've got some time.
And UBC Thunderbird women's field hockey on the weekend, getting it done, sweeping their big rival, the UVic Vikes. UBC now 4-0 in women's field hockey this weekend. They will travel to Alberta to take on the 1-2-1 Pandas.
Yeah, well,
the Pandas.
The games against the Vikes are obviously the big ones for the Thunderbirds field hockey team. They got them. They're really in the driver's seat right now as far as field hockey goes in the Canada West.
Well, that pretty much does it for our show here today. Big thank you to all our guests who came on with us. Big thank you to you, Tyler.
Huh, it's always a pleasure to be on the show, Dan.
There you go. Yeah, we're done. We've got a couple more minutes.
I thought it was a very good show. It wasn't a throw together like it was last week. It was good.
Mike with Fletcher head. Oh, that's Luke.
That's Luke, yeah.
What
he got thrown the curveball.
What happened there?
Luke, has to make
sure
that...
I have a question for you, Luke. How much television watching did you do on Sunday night? Because Sunday's the big TV lineup. I know you watch Breaking Bad, right?
No, I only watched the first couple of episodes, and I couldn't get into it, I'm afraid.
Okay, because you got Mad Men.
Did you watch Mad Men?
That was very good.
Yeah, as it always is.
Yeah. You watched Bored to Death, the new Jason Schwartzman, Zach Galifianakis, Ted Danson?
I've heard about it. I have not.
It's not bad, man.
I'm afraid I got a cease and desist letter from TELUS in terms of my TV watching, if you will.
Really?
Yes. I watch TV, and I know this is radio, so you can't see my fingers going blink, blink when I go TV. But yes, I download things.
Ah.
And I'm not allowed to, apparently. And they put a stop to that, so... Is that Zach's show? That's probably on FX or something like that.
HBO.
Correct? It's on HBO. See, can't do it anymore. You know, so, you know, what can you do?
You'll move
you know
on. I mean?
Yeah, I know. I'll move on. You know, like, I'm wondering why I keep cable, though. Like, seriously, because if the downloading thing kept on going, it's like all I would want to watch is sports. And, I mean, like, sorry, we've got baseball playoffs coming up.
Yeah.
Hockey Night in Canada. I can watch. Do you get CBC without cable still, though? Do you not?
I believe
you
can.
You better. So. Okay, so you see, I can have Hockey Night in Canada for free.
I think you also get the Comedy Network sometimes, too.
You know, like, I mean, now I can do without that, too. I mean, it's like I'm almost considering cutting it off, you know, just having Hockey Night in Canada on Saturdays. I still get Jeopardy, you know, like.
I guess asking you about HD TVs is going.
Well, no, I mean, I could. It's just that it's just getting too expensive. It really is. Like you're paying so much money to just watch 87 episodes of Seinfeld a night, kind of thing. It seems. You
my
know?
Favorite, like, my favorite part of what you said there was you said I still get Jeopardy.
Yes,
you said.
Yes, that's my 7:30 ritual. I'm afraid.
Oh, still get
Sorry.
Jeopardy.
You don't know, like, yeah. You know
Did you
mean?
See the Family Guy premiere?
I'm not a fan.
Okay.
So, you know, like,
Curb Your Enthusiasm was great.
I'm sure it was.
Yeah.
You know, it's a very well written show. I mean, that's the Seinfeld crossover now, isn't it?
Yeah. That starts this Sunday.
Oh, okay.
That starts this Sunday. But, I thought you were saying stuff.
I'm sorry, mate. You know, like, I mean, this is what happens when you fly by the seat of your pants and talk radio, is like sometimes you get into, yeah, so, what's your favorite color? You know, like, I mean, and, you know. It's green, by the way.
You're wearing a green sweatshirt.
Yeah, okay.
Perfect. You know. All right, we've killed
enough. How are we doing on time? Okay,
we're cool. Great now.
All right, good night, everybody.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
thank you, Luke.
Broadcasting's about filling time, and we've done that, so.
Success.
There we go.
Success. Our next UBC Thunderbird Sports broadcast will be Saturday.
Saturday afternoon, October 3rd, 1:30 pregame. 2:00 kickoff, Calgary at UBC, men's football from Thunderbird Stadium.
Tough one for the Birds. Yep. UBC coming into that one with a 1-3 record. Calgary 3-1, the number 3 ranked team in the country. So
yep.
this we never actually asked Jim what the point spread should be, what he thinks the point spread is.
Oh, no, we forgot about that.
We forgot that one.
Well, given his grim assessment of the Thunderbirds there.
Well, I believe he had the Regina one at like 7.5, right?
I'm pretty sure Jim would put the spread at big. Big. So
it's a 2-touchdowner at least
for sure.
Maybe 17, 18. Once again, though, the big stat, the one that really scares me going into this game, Calgary. Number one team in the country, in the conference, running the football, like 272 yards per game. UBC last in the conference against the run at 198 yards against per game. And you throw in Calgary's got a great passing attack on top of that.
Yikes. It'll be interesting to see how defensive coordinator for the Thunderbirds and the staff will manage, you know, the Dinos. And how are they going to do it? Are they going to move players around? Or are they just going to go with the same and hope? I don't know.
We'll see. Yeah. We'll see on Saturday.
Saturday it is.
All right, Mike with Fletcher Head is coming up right after me. I'd like to thank all my guests once again. Mike Mosier, Milan Dragosavic, Billy Green, Ted Gavaya, Ryan Sullivan, Jim Mullen.
Yeah. All right. Thanks to Jeff for the interview Milan there as well. So.
Thank you, Tyler. All right, okay. Thanks for listening. Have a great day, everybody.
That ship out there will be smashed to bits. Use your emergency equipment.
It won't work. Nothing works. It's got to. It's no use. Everything seems to be stuck.
My life's worth a try anyway.
Come on, fellas. You can make it.